Welcome to Sex Unshackled. I am Becky Crepsley Fox, and this podcast is where sexuality and spirituality meet. Today on Sex Unshackled, I have Joe Fuller with me. Joe is the founder of the Merry Menopause online community and Merry Menopause Book Club podcast. She is a coach and educator and focuses on the power of menstrual cycle tracking and menopause. Jo wants to empower women to take control of their mental and physical well-being and is committed to raising awareness of the two big hormonal changes that happen throughout a woman's life. I am super excited to have her here with me today. Jo, can you please tell the listeners what brought you to this work?
My own experience. So I'm now 51, and looking back around my early 40s, I started to feel anxious. I started to notice that things were changing for me, and I didn't understand why. I'd never suffered from anxiety before, and it had just come out of the blue. I had nothing to be anxious about, and I spoke to women. I didn't go to my GP. That's not my first line response. It was like I wanted to find out what was the root cause, what was going on. And I learned about this word called the perimenopause. And it was like, but I'm in my 40s. And it was then that I realized that menopause was something that didn't happen in your 50s. It's something I thought happened was going to happen in my 50s. It was actually something, looking back on it, probably started in my late 30s, which is really common for most women because that's when their ovarian function starts to decline. And it was like, wow, we don't know about this. You know, I was quite lucky. I was quite fit and healthy. I had a good diet. I had a lot of exercise. I minimized my symptoms. A lot of women don't realize that, yes, it's a natural hormonal depletion, but actually there's so much we can do to prevent the onslaught of all this sort of negative narrative that we have around menopause and the symptoms associated with it. So I wanted to raise awareness of that, how we can sort of educate and prepare ourselves for menopause. And I also want to really help change the PR and change the messaging around it, that it is this catastrophic change of life that we come to. I don't believe that at all. I see so many women doing amazing things at this time of life. It's a really, really powerful change, and I want women, young girls and women, to think, God, I can't wait to get to my 50s. Look at what these women are doing. You know, I want it something to be an aspirational time of life, not something that women are scared of. So that's what I do. I educate, I coach, I encourage women, help them to build resilience. So that when they do hit these stressful times, which our hormones can really impact how we feel physically and mentally, they are prepared for it. They can show up for it. They know what to do, and they can carry on, and they can live. You know, average life in the UK now is our 80s. They can live post menopause with this estrogen deficiency and live the life that they deserve to have.
Yeah. And for the listeners, I know you just gave a little bit of information there about perimenopause and menopause, but for the listeners, can you tell us a bit about what the difference is between those in case anyone is unsure, and what they mean, what they are?
Yeah. And most women are, Becky. Most women really don't know. We just hear this word menopause. Menopause itself is one day. It's the very last day of your last period. And for many women, we look back on that retrospectively, because we obviously never know when our last period's going to be. Yeah. And that's where my work with cycle tracking comes in. I believe that's a powerful tool to prepare us for this stage. And the real sort of symptomatic stage that people talk about is actually your perimenopause. And that, again, is how long is a piece of string. That sort of starts when our ovarian function starts to decline. So we stop releasing an egg every month. And that impacts the production of estrogen and progesterone. And the perimenopause leads us up to that one day, the menopause. And once you've had that last day, that last bleed, you're then postmenopause, which is how you will live for the rest of your life.
So it's like premenopause or postmenopause, not actual menopause, which is the word in which we know, because menopause is just that day. But we imagine menopause to be like this whole thing, right?
Or yeah, you it's are like living the umbrella term. Yeah, it's like the umbrella term, but there's the three stages to it. So you've got your perimenopause, your premenopause, your menopause that one day, which I think is really significant. And it would be lovely, you know, I didn't get a 50th birthday because we're in lockdown. You know, so I'm like thinking, I'm not going to wait till I'm 60. I'm going to have a menopause celebration.
Yeah,
you know, I'm on day 92 of my cycle. I could well have, you know, another period. But this could be the end, you know, this could be the end of my cycle, which will be a sad day, but it will really mark, you know, like puberty, like when we start our periods, you know, that marks us going into womanhood.
Yeah.
You know, that day, that one day of my last bleed, a year retrospectively, is going to be worth celebrating.
Yeah, I had Rebecca Wilson join me for a podcast episode, and we were talking about menstruation and puberty and the beginnings of periods and things like that, and we were talking about how we should be celebrating the start of periods, but a lot of the time we, you know, myself included, go on the contraceptive pill, ignore the periods, and at some point later on, maybe in our 30s when we want to have kids or just want to stop the pill, we go off them, and then we realize, oh, I have to go through this whole transition, this whole cyclical routine again, where maybe I'm getting acne, my periods are feeling really painful. And what she was saying is, you know, this is a time for us to celebrate it. How can we have ceremonies to transition into this, you know, adult life or female reproductive life? And I feel like what you're saying is so beautiful, because it's a similar thing, but we're top and tailing. So with her, we're talking about the beginning of the cycle, and with you, we're talking about celebrating the end. And I just think that's really lovely, the comparison between them.
Yeah, I mean, they're two hormonal changes that every woman will go through. Every woman will have a menopause and every woman will hit puberty. And, you know, the celebratory thing is so hugely important, because that is a step that we go from girl to woman. You know, and there is so much evidence around the fact that if you celebrate, if you really mark that occasion for teenage boys and teenage girls at whatever sort of stage of their tweens, their preteens, their teen, if you mark that occasion, that transition from child to adult, it does actually produce more well-rounded adults. There's a real like power in stepping across, whereas if it isn't acknowledged, this is when we see, you know, excessive drug taking, sleeping around, alcohol abuse, because there's no, kids are trying to prove themselves, they're trying to, you know, show that they've grown up, but there's been no specific recognition of it.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it helps. The Americans have done a lot of research on this. They have period parties.
Yeah.
And you know, something we've never adopted from them. We've adopted all the, you know, Thanksgiving and Halloween and Black Friday. We haven't adopted period parties. And if you celebrate with a young girl, if you really show her with her close friends and family how much you, you know, acknowledge the fact that she's stepping into womanhood, they have a much better self-image. They have a much better, when they look at themselves in the mirror, they have a much better self-image. And who wouldn't want that for their young daughter, for their goddaughter, their niece, their cousin, you know? It's such an important stage of a woman's life, as is this end. And this end, where I am now, is so rarely talked about. And it's like we need to hear the powerful stories, the inspiring stories, you know, the positive stories about women living life post-menopause. Not just all the negative stuff that the media mm-hmm. produces it because it gets readers, and we are conditioned to read negative stuff. Look at the news, you know, all the publications that have come out, positive news, they fail sadly. And we're still buying, you know, the crappy tabloids that are just, you know, pumping us full of negativity. And that's what sells headlines, you know, my menopause anxiety, you know, caused me to do this. My relationship broke up because of my, you know, I lost my job. Yes, these things happen. But let's balance it out with the women who are like, yeah, my hormones caused me to, you know, crash and burn, but this is what I did to recover. This is what I did to build my resilience. This is what I did to educate myself. And now look at me. Why don't we hear more about that?
It's so true.
Ranting now.
Yes, I love it.
But it's so important. But it's so important. It's so important that we change this perception of it. You know, for women like yourself, you know, you're going to approach it. And it's like, approach it with something you want to look forward to. Yes, you know, there are changes ahead that you're going to have to prepare yourself. Your body's going to change. But look at it at a really exciting time of your life, because it is. Merimenopause has come out of my menopause. Mm. And it's growing and growing and growing. And it's exciting.
Yeah. And I think there's something about this not talking about it, like for yourself as well, before when you were experiencing anxiety and not understanding why, because we're not talking about it in this way, people don't know that they might be experiencing it, that it's normal, that where to go to seek reassurance, to speak to other people who are experiencing similar things. So I'm wondering if you can tell the listeners just a few typical things that they might be experiencing, so that if someone is experiencing it, they know, oh, I'm not alone. This is something that is quite common.
Yeah. So you will experience menopause. So as I said before, it's when your sex hormones start to deplete because of your ovarian function. So what we're all aware of is hot flushes, you know, and those hideous, you know, memes and cartoons of a middle-aged woman with grey hair, you know, sitting in a corner flushing. That doesn't happen to everybody. It doesn't happen to the majority of people. You know, it's just one of the most obvious physical signs. But the three most common symptoms of the perimenopause, which again, late 30s, early 40s, are cognitive. So they are anxiety, low mood, and depression. And a lot of women experience those. And that's when that estrogen, the sort of the happy hormone, starts to deplete, and it will come as a shock for a lot of women. And they'll go to the doctor. The first line response for many women is to be given antidepressants. You know, a lot of doctors still aren't aware that, you know, your menopause starts before your period stop, which is the name of my signature masterclass, because for so many women, they think, well, I'm still having periods. I can't be experiencing menopause or perimenopause as it is. It's like, yes, you can. And then one of the big signs is that your periods will then start to change. So they can become heavier, lighter, shorter in length, longer in length. Your flow will change. It will change in colour. It will change in consistency. So kind of, yeah, look out for the cognitive sides. Don't be scared. That's completely normal. Well, not completely normal, but it can be managed and dealt with. Stress is a massive impact on the symptoms at this time of life. Many women are really busy. We're called the sandwich generation. We've got teenage kids. We've got our career. We've got aging parents. We've got a lot going on. Mm-hmm. So we talk a lot about diet and lifestyle, how important that is. For a lot of women, that's really hard. You know, they're not putting themselves first. And this really, you know, the post I did today was all about how important this time of life is for putting yourself first. When your estrogen declines, it's your nurturing hormone. It's the hormone that makes you want to get married and have children and look after everybody. And as it depletes, you start to like not care so much, you know, about everybody else. And a lot of women feel a lot of guilt about that, feel, you know, but actually there's a reason. Your body's saying, sod them, look after yourself. And it really is, it's that clear messaging. Our body talks to us all the time. It talks us through our cycle. It talks to us through that change. And that big, you know, noise that's coming where, sod you, I don't care, I want to do this for me. Do it, listen to it. It's what your body needs to help you maintain yourself and become this fabulous woman post-menopause.
About bloody time, I think. I see so many women.
Am I allowed to swear, Becky?
Yes, please.
It's really saying, you know, give zero fucks and look after yourself. It's really what your body's saying. And it's like, for some women, it's so loud and clear. And they do feel that guilt. And I get that. You know, you've got your children, you've got your parents, you've got, you know, got all these people that you care and you love about. And all of a sudden it's like, what's wrong with me? And people, there's nothing wrong with you. It's just a natural response to your hormonal drop. It's a natural response to prepare you for this next stage of life.
Yeah.
Cut some of those ties. Let people fend for themselves a little bit more. Give yourself a little bit more back.
Yes. I love that. That's what, you know, a lot of the messages that I try to get out there to women and vulva owners, and people think it's selfish, right? Because we're kind of bred to be givers, bred to be doing things for other people all the time. But why can't we bring a little bit back to ourselves? And so much of the work that I do with women, especially vulva owners, is about this. So I really love that you've brought that piece in as well. So if people are experiencing those symptoms that we just discussed, what can they do to alleviate some? Where can they go? Obviously to someone like yourself. But yeah, what can they do?
So stress is a massive contributor to many of the symptoms that we have. There are 39 symptoms documented I think there's many more. I think every woman is so different. Her body is going to, or as you say, vulva aroma. So I keep saying woman. Anybody who's going through this, you know, hormonal change, will experience similar things or different things. Everyone's going to experience it different. We all experience life differently. You know, we all process emotions and feelings differently. So it's going to be different for everybody. My main first point would be, look at the stress in your life. What is causing you stress? You know, what's disrupting your sleep? We don't get good sleep. The foundation of everything, you know, the foundation of our hormonal balance, our mood, our sex drive, our appetite comes from a good night's sleep. What's disrupting your sleep? Let's fix your sleep. And generally it's stress. You know, if you're waking up in the middle of the night and you can't get back to sleep, that's your cortisol levels. That's your adrenals kicking in late at night. And we need to look after our adrenals. They're two tiny little glands that sit above our kidneys, and they produce adrenaline and cortisol. But as our ovarian function depletes and we stop producing estrogen and progesterone and testosterone, we get a backup supply from our adrenals. And if our adrenals are burnt out, if they're knackered, they're going to be no use to us post-menopause. And again, I think this is another real sign of our body going, slow down. We need to look after your adrenals. So adrenal health, hugely important. So that comes with stress. That comes with mental stress. A lot of us have more mental stress than we realize. That's negative thought patterns. That's ruminating. That's worrying. You know, and that brings on so much. Stress is caused by the foods we eat. You know, too much processed food, too much sugar, too much caffeine, too much processed food. You know, look at what you're eating. Look at what you're putting in your body. How much? Everything in moderation. Alcohol, sadly, at this time of life, is nobody's friend. If you're really, you know, turning to, you know, a few glasses of wine a night, you need to look at that. Why? What's causing you that? Because the impact of that alcohol on your body is going to be huge. It's going to exacerbate a lot of symptoms. It's your body, your metabolism slows down. So processing that alcohol is going to take an awful lot longer. That's going to impact your sleep. That's going to encourage weight gain, which isn't going to make you feel better about yourself. You know, so really look at why alcohol could be a crutch for you at this time. Yeah, talk therapy, talking openly, joining online communities, listening to podcasts, listening to positive things. Seek out the people that are talking about this change of life positively. If you immerse yourself in communities, and there are communities on Facebook that it is just people complaining, that's not going to do you any good. Yes, dip in and out. If you've got a question that needs answering, absolutely go there for information, but don't hang around. You know, it's like if you go around to somebody's house for a coffee and all they're doing is bringing you down, you know, leave, have your cup of coffee and go into these sites if you want to find out, but don't linger there, don't stay there. Go and find the people that are going to give you some positive information and really help you to understand and navigate.
So it's like this holistic, well-rounded view of your life. So looking at sleep, eating, energy levels, more relaxation, yeah. Self-care. So yeah, you know, we're incorporating all of that. Makes so much sense. I'm also wondering,
and it's so interesting, I interviewed yesterday for my podcast called Kimberly Wilson, who's written a book about the brain, how to have a healthy brain. And it is holistically everything that we look at for menopause is how we look at having a healthy brain. It's how we look at having a healthy body. Yeah. And what we're not taught from an early age is the impact of our lifestyle on our health, and it eventually catches up with us. So, you know, if we want to build healthy brains, we want to build healthy, you know, hormonal balances, we need to look at everything that we're doing. You know, it's not, you can't just have a green smoothie and then smoke 20 fags, drink Diet Coke and not do any exercise. You know, it's everything. And we are not taught as human beings how to preserve and maintain this amazing mind and body that we have. And they're so intrinsically linked. So what's going on in your head is going to affect what's going on in your body, and vice versa. You know, we've got the vagus nerve talking, you know, between the two. And it's, why are we not giving this advice during the pandemic? What, we were just, you know, again, back to the media, scaremongering. They took away everything that makes us feel good and helps us build immunity. Yeah. Isolation, stay inside, don't get your vitamin D, don't socialize, just stressful, fear inducing, and cases go up. You know, it's like, give people the right information. Yes, okay, you need to protect yourself, but at the same time, you do need to do exercise. You do need to eat properly. And don't just fill your head with negative news. You know, I think the messaging around that was just...
Yeah, it's so linked. And my listeners probably heard me because I talk about IBS quite a lot because it's something that I've experienced, you know, pretty much throughout my life. And yeah. I had this appointment with a doctor the other day and we were taking more of a holistic view of everything. And we were talking about anxiety and there was just so many links that she made between, you know, IBS, leaky gut, and how that depletes the serotonin and the serotonin causes anxiety that gives you more IBS. And it's just, you know, to get my brain healthier, I have to eat healthier. And it's just once you realize that everything is so linked, what you're saying makes so much sense. And yeah. What I'm also wondering is, what are some positive outcomes that you have seen, that you've heard about, that you know of, that you've experienced through someone transitioning through the stage of their life?
It's that realization that this is not the end. You know, so many women think, oh my God, that's it. It's over. My life is over. I can't have children anymore. My body's changing. I'm feeling shit. It's over. And it's like suddenly when that light bulb moment comes on that A, they know what's happening to them, and B, it doesn't have to be the end. And they make tweaks in their daily routine. They start reading and learning and understanding what's happening, that they realize it's not the end. You know, you see, and we're very tuned to the physical, you know, weight gain is very, very common. I've always been very slim. I've always exercised. I've always looked after myself. I've put on half a stone around my middle and it's there, it's sitting there. And it's like, you know what? I've just learned to accept it. You know, I can still squeeze into my clothes. You know I can't eat what I used to. I know I can't exercise like I used to because my body's just, it's changing. It's not got that power and strength that it used to have, but it's still got power and it's still got strength. It just needs to utilize it in a different way. You know, I can't eat. I can't get away. I cannot eat sugar. I will just, my sleep just goes to absolute pot. That's whether it's a glass of wine or a Kit Kat. For me, it's zero sugar. I can tolerate 2 cups of tea a day, no coffee, because that sends my adrenals into crazy. And they're things I miss, you know, going out for a coffee with a friend is a real thing. Going out for a cup of tea with a friend's a bit different. There's a ritual around having a coffee, isn't there? And they're things I miss, but I know that a good night's sleep is worth, yeah. It's weight in gold to me, you know, so I can get up and function. Because if you don't have a good night's sleep, you're going to just drink more caffeine, you're going to eat more crap just to keep going. So it's about getting women to understand that they're not giving anything up, they're actually gaining. You know, by giving up coffee, I've gained my sleep back and that, you know, overall balance in my life. You know, by giving up that Kit Kat, I'm maintaining my weight because I do still want to wear the clothes that I was wearing this time last year. You know, I still want to feel confident, you know, when I go out. And yes, confidence is an inside job. I know that. But we all want to look good in our clothes. And it's like, I don't want to let things slip to the point where I get to, you know, complete rock bottom. I've got to start climbing up again. It's like, I want maintenance. I want, you know, prevention and maintenance is really where I'm going. And that's what I really want to get into women. It's like, there's a level of acceptance that we're going to change and we can't do the things we used to do, but actually they're really beneficial. We're not losing anything. We're not giving anything up. We're gaining in the long term.
Yes. It's that reframing, isn't it? And again, back to this doctor's appointment I had, we went through the same thing. So she wants me to do an elimination diet. So for 6 weeks, I basically have to cut out like everything good. So like carbs, I don't drink coffee myself, but coffee, chocolate, sugar, like so much stuff. And I was like, oh, for me, you know, I was really reluctant because I was like, for me, pasta at the end of the day is like what I look forward to. You know, that for me is where I get my joy. And she was reframing it for me saying, you know, because the whole point is to work on my immune system. And she was like, but, you know, if we reframe it to what we're getting is a healthy body. What we're getting is an immune system that works better. What we're getting is hopefully not IBS anymore. And it's that reframe of actually what is more important to me, a bowl of pasta, you know, it's just 6 weeks. I might be able to add the pasta back in afterwards. It's not, well, it might not be forever. depends what happens, or for me to be healthy. And, you know, once you have that comparison, it's so much easier to realize, well, what is important to me? And for me, sleep, if we're talking about sleep, sleep is the most important thing. So yeah. I'm always going to be choosing sleep. So because this
I'm
is
loving the sound of that Dr. Becky. She sounds great.
She's very expensive.
But, I mean that's sad to hear that she's not an NHS doctor, but no. You know, she's also like functional medicine, but that's
she is functional medicine, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. that is really what the advice that we should be giving. We should, you know, the NHS years ago did a campaign about prevention, and it kind of never took off. That's what it is. It's we need to, you know, grassroots. You see all these celebs, you know, trying to change school meals. That is so fundamentally important.
Yeah.
How we educate a young age on this holistic, you know, and a lot of people think holistic is weirdy, beardy, woo woo. It's not. Holistic means rounded. It's taking a view of everything. How important it is we are educated from a young age how to balance our hormones, what our hormones do, how important our cycle is. You know, not just stick young girls on the pill. Our period is our superpower. Masterclass coming soon on that little plug.
Yes.
But, you know, our period really is our superpower. And I work with women and organisations about building your productivity and your energy and your stress around your period. It stops burnout. It stops, you know, so much going on. It helps you manage your life. You know, we are four women in a month. We're a different part of us shows up in the 4 weeks of our period. And if more women can learn to understand that and harness that, you know, I do believe that is the key to having a merry menopause, is that cycle awareness of all, and you'll recognize your symptoms and why they're showing up. So it's huge information. So she does sound amazing. It's a shame she's not NHS.
She's incredible. She's really incredible. So functional medicine, guys, that's where it's all at. I didn't know about functional medicine until, you know, this, me trying to build up my immune system. But so far, super, super positive.
Is she working with your cycle, Becky?
We haven't really spoken about it, but I've only just stopped the mini pill. So I haven't had a cycle yet.
Okay.
And I've only had one session with her, so we'll see. But yeah, I haven't had one. I'm waiting for it to happen.
We should have a talk.
Yes, I'd love that.
Yeah. I bet we could clear up your IBS just by looking at your cycle.
We'll definitely do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. All right, sex. Have you
sex? No, I haven't. Not this morning.
Me neither, unfortunately.
Very early.
the worst thing for my sex life has been getting this puppy. Like, honestly, if you want to have good sex, guys, don't get a puppy. It's just it's so hard. Yeah, have you noticed? Has anyone spoken to you about how their sex life has been altered, either positively or, you know, not so positively as they're going through this cycle? I mean, there's some stuff that I've been aware of. I'm just wondering if you've heard of anything.
Yeah, I mean, what happens? So as we get older, our childbearing years come to an end. So we have a monthly cycle, which is basically to procreate. That's what happens. We get hormonal highs and lows, and we produce the sex hormones, which make us feel horny, make us want to go and have sex and hopefully have a pregnancy. And obviously that all slows down as we get older and enter into perimenopause, menopause, postmenopause. So libido drops because that natural instinct to go out and procreate is lessening because our bodies are adjusting to our non-childbearing years. So many women will experience a drop in their libido. Doesn't mean they don't want to have sex. It just means it's going to take a little bit longer, a bit more encouragement. And estrogen is a lubrication, natural lubrication. So things start to become drier, you know, our joints, our bones, various aches and pains. But also it affects our vulva. And, you know, a lot of women can start to experience painful sex, which is another sign, really, that things are changing. So many women lose interest in sex because it become, you know, their natural instinct to have it drops. It's painful, you know, they don't really want to participate in something that's painful, but it doesn't mean it has to stop. So lubrication, you know, non-scented natural lubrication is every woman's, you know, friend at this time of life. Use it liberally. You know, there are so many. There's a great woman on Instagram called Sam Talks Sex. She runs a sex aid company, talks a lot about lubrication. You know, she's kind of my age. It's really important to keep your sex life going, whether that's you on your own or you with a partner.
Yeah.
And if it's painful, there are things that can be done about it. So lubrication, you can get, we haven't spoken about HRT. Mm-hmm. I'm not anti or pro HRT. It works for an awful lot of women, but it is not a cure. It will not take away your menopause. It needs to be supported with this holistic lifestyle, but it can help a lot of women, HRT. If you don't want to take HRT or you can't take HRT, you can take local estrogen pessaries that are just used vaginally, and they can really help with lubrication. They can really help with incontinence. They can really help with vaginal atrophy. They can be life changing for a lot of women. And another really important point to talk, which is a conversation I had with Tracy Cox, who is a sex author and sex therapist. We did a podcast together. She's got a great book out called Great Sex Begins at 50. And a really interesting point that she made was that, you know, we're conditioned to think that women have a lower libido than men. And we don't. We just get bored. So a guy be quite happy to have the same sex for the rest of his life. You know, there's an end result for a guy. Women get bored. They don't want to have the same sex all the time. So, you know, if you're still looking at your partner and you really love him or her or them, and you know that, but it's just not, spice it up, change it. Good chance that you're bored, and you may not have even considered that might be a reason. Actually, you're just bored with having the same sex, not with that person, but just having the same sex.
Yeah. I also want to make a big point about foreplay. So amazingly, Joe, you've mentioned about lubrication, you know, HRT and the internal pessaries that you can use for, you know, lubrication in the vulva, and also lots and lots of foreplay. And maybe foreplay is the sex, right? Do we always have to go into penetration? Maybe you want to experiment with, as you say, other types of sex. Maybe we're bored. Maybe we need to mix things up. Also, some of you may have heard me talk about spontaneous and responsive desire in the past. I'm just going to give a little recap, because if we are changing into a time of life where we're not feeling this kind of spontaneous arousal, maybe our genitals are not growing, we're not getting lubricated, maybe we're not kind of walking down the street and we feel aroused, which for a lot of vulva owners doesn't happen anyway. Most of the time people are responsive, so we don't know we're aroused, we're in a sexual situation. But I think as we transition through this perimenopause stage, even more women become this responsive desire, and you might not be used to it. So what I want you guys to think about is, what is your driver for sex? Because maybe it isn't what it used to be. Maybe it's not this kind of burning sensation in the genitals, but instead it is, you know, a wanting to feel pleasure, or a wanting to connect with a partner, or just a wanting to have fun and experiment, and allowing that to be the driver, because maybe the drive that used to be there isn't present anymore, or it's changing and it's shifting. So just kind of bearing that stuff in mind as well.
And you're absolutely right. You know, as we get older, our primeval need to have sex is completely different. You know, we're not producing children, is purely for enjoyment, affection, intimacy. You know, and a lot of women feel really liberated at this time, because, you know, obviously the risk of getting pregnant is zero. You know, be very careful, ladies. Now I'm on day 92 of my cycle. That doesn't mean I can't get pregnant. You know, so still, you know, take precaution if you don't want to do that. And the other thing I think that's really important is that, you know, obviously they have Viagra for men, because, you know, men's sex drive, we can't let that go away, can we? We have to do something about that. But if you're an older lady, you know, an older vagina suits an older penis. So, you know, we become much softer and we become more delicate. So actually, if your partner's, and, you know, erectile dysfunction, you know, is very, very common in men in midlife. And that kind of, the two go together, you know, so it's a much softer, gentler kind of sex than, you know, the chandelier hanging screaming sex of your 20s. It's completely different. And orgasms change. You know, they're not as intense. A lot of women find that they have will have multiple orgasms, but they're softer and more gentler. They're not the, you know, sort of screeching, holding onto the bedpost anymore. They're different. Everything's different. It's not worse. It's not bad. It's just different. And it's, again, it's that acceptance and that adjustment to it. And it's, you know, if you do have a partner and he's taking Viagra, and it's really painful and it's, you know, making sex uncomfortable, have a conversation with him. Open conversations, you know, always around sex, Becky, as you know, whatever age you are.
Yeah.
But so important around this time as well, because nobody should be suffering and nobody should be having painful sex.
Thank you so much, Jo. It's been incredible to have you. I'm definitely going to be booking in with you. Can you please tell the listeners how they can find you?
Yes, so I'm on Instagram at The Merry Menopause. I have a website, merrymenopause.com. I've got a private group on Facebook. God, I'm everywhere, Becky.
Yes.
and then I have the podcast on all your favourite podcast platforms, and that's The Merry Menopause Book Club podcast. And that's where I interview the authors of books that I've read to educate me. And that's where it came from. I got a lot of my knowledge through reading. So knowledge is power. So yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah, I'm going to post all of that in the show notes page. Thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, my pleasure. Lovely to meet you.